Starting with verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His faithful love continues forever. That phrase, that one verse, is mentioned 41 times in the Bible. And anyone who teaches, whether it's kids, youth, or adults, knows that one of the keys to teaching is to repeat. So this is a lesson we are meant to learn. It's in the Old Testament, and the truth of it is reiterated over and over and over again in the New Testament. It is woven through every book, every verse of the Bible, that God is good and that his faithful love continues forever. Moving on to verse 2. That's what those who have been set free by the Lord should say. He set them free from the power of the enemy. The NIV says, let them tell their story. If you know Jesus, if you know God, you have a story to tell. And we have been encouraged to tell it for thousands of years. From the Message, it says this: all of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from oppression. Verse 3, he brought them back from the east and the west, from the north and the south. A lot of times, telling your story is intimidating. I have to say, when I was growing up in youth group, and even in Bible college, we are taught the four spiritual laws and the Romans Road and all these tricks to sharing your faith with other people. These are great tools. I'm not downplaying them at all. And it's great to know those verses so that if they ever are needed, if there's ever a natural point at which to share those verses, you are well aware of what they are and you're comfortable sharing them. But I have to tell you right now, I've learned over the years that the reason why it's so often difficult to share our faith with other people is because we are trying to find or share a formula that someone has taught us instead of sharing about the night and day difference that God has made in our life. We are to tell our story. There is nothing more powerful than telling someone the difference that God has made to you. It's not enough for us to throw scriptures at them. Those are powerful, and God's word will not return void. But the true power in people's eyes is to see that God is living and active in our lives every day. So if you're doubting whether or not you have a story, I've got news for you. Everyone has a story. If you know Jesus, you have a story, and every story is powerful. Which brings us to verse 4. There are four stories shared in this psalm, and they all address four different groups of people. And at different times in my life, I will admit that I have related to every group that is spoken about in this psalm. So I want you to listen carefully. If you identify with these people, listen carefully to the end of each story about each group. Some of them wandered in deserts that were dry and empty. They couldn't find their way to the city where they could settle down. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives were slipping away. Then they cried out to the Lord because of their problems, and he saved them from their troubles. He led them straight to a city where they could settle down. Now, there's not a lot of deserts in Cloverdale, but there are times in our lives where we go through desert, where we are wandering, we are questioning, we feel spent, we feel thirsty, we feel parched, and not just because of the summer heat. We feel spiritually done. But the encouraging thing about this is that these people were at the point where their lives were slipping away. And sometimes it feels like that. When you're going through that dry period, it just feels like you're just, oh, I don't know how much longer I can do this. I don't know how much longer I can keep going. But then they cried out to the Lord because of their problems, and he saved them from their troubles. He led them straight to a city where they could settle down. He let them give thanks for the miracles he does for his people. He gives those who are thirsty all the water they want. And this is echoed again when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John, where he says, "This water I give you, this is living water. Anyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again." And so I want to encourage you, if you're feeling that dryness, if you're feeling like you're at the end of your rope, come to Jesus, come to God, and he will give you that living water. Those who are hungry, he gives all the good food they can eat. And again, this is echoed in John 6:35. "I am the bread of life," Jesus said. He says, "He who comes to me shall not be hungry." Some of you wandered for years in the desert looking, but not finding any good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering, stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God, and he got you out in the nick of time. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love. Let them give thanks for the miracles he does for his people. Group two is a little different. They are suffering, and they're in darkness, but it's because of their own behavior and choices. Verse 10, "Others lived in the deepest darkness. They suffered as prisoners in iron chains, and that's because they hadn't obeyed the commands of God. They had refused to follow the plans of the Most High God, so he made them do work that was hard and bitter. They tripped and fell, and there was no one to help them. Then they cried out to the Lord because of their problems, and he saved them from their troubles. He brought them out of the deepest darkness, and he broke their chains." The message says it this way. Some of you were locked in a dark cell, cruelly confined behind bars, punished for defying God's word, for turning your back on the high God's counsel, a hard sentence. Your hearts were so heavy and not a soul in sight to help. And then you called out to God in your desperate condition, and he got you out in the nick of time. But listen to this. He led you out of your dark cell. He broke open the jail, and he led you out. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He shattered the heavy jailhouse doors, and he snapped the prison bars like matchsticks. When God comes to your rescue, he does not mess around. He breaks our bondage to pieces. He shatters it. He destroys it. He overcomes it, and we are set free. I don't care what any of us have done. We are all in the same boat. We all need that power of God. We all need his rescue. And know this, no matter what you're coming out of or where you're at today, whatever situation, God will respond. It will feel like in the nick of time, but he will respond and he will rescue you. Others were foolish. They suffered because of their sins, and they suffered because they wouldn't obey the Lord. They refused to eat anything. They came close to passing through the gates of death. I find this part interesting because it's almost like they recognize what they've done. It's not just that they're in this awful position of being away from God, that they're reaping the consequences of their sin, but they recognize that that's exactly why they are in the place that they're in. Then they cried out to the Lord because of their problems. And guess what? He saved them from their troubles. He gave his command and he healed them. He saved them from the grave. And in this, it's talking about that wholeness. That wholeness that we each need for God to give us, and only He can give it. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love. Let them give thanks for the wonderful things He does for His people. Let them sacrifice thank offerings. Let them talk about what He has done as they sing with joy. A lot of times we hear people talking about how when you come to know Jesus, you're filled with joy. And people are like, what does that mean? You run around like a giddy schoolgirl, like, hey! No, that's not joy. Joy is wholeness. When you feel complete, that means you can go through any circumstance and know the joy of the Lord. He is your peace. He is your hope. He is the love. He gives you everything you need for that moment in time, no matter what it is. He gives you that joy, and that joy is a result of the wholeness you receive when you are sold out for Jesus. The last group. Some people sailed out on the ocean in ships. They traded goods on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, and they saw the wonderful deeds He did on the ocean. So these people are aware of who God is. They're aware of His power and what He could do. And He spoke, and He stirred up a storm. And it lifted the waves high, and they rose up to the heavens. And then they went down into the ocean. And in that kind of danger, the people's boldness melted away. They were unsteady, like people who have become drunk. They didn't know what to do. Then they cried out to the Lord because of their problems, and He brought them out of their troubles. He made the storm as quiet as a whisper, and the waves of the ocean calmed down, and the people were glad when the ocean became calm. And then He guided them to the harbor they were looking for. He let them give thanks, let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love. Let them give thanks for the wonderful things He does for His people. Let them honor Him among His people who gather for worship. Let them praise Him in the meeting of the elders. It's interesting because in these four groups, you see different situations. The first group and the fourth group, they kind of have little to no control over what's going on in their life. You have the people who are wandering in the desert. They're starving and hungry. They're looking for a home to settle down. And you have these sailors, these merchants who have gone out on the ocean to trade their goods. And God calls up a storm. Then you have the two groups in the middle, group two and group three, who really are there because of their own choices. Group three, they're referred to as foolish. It's important for us to recognize that whenever the Bible talks about fools, it's not talking about people who are mentally deficient. It's talking about people who are morally deficient. It's talking about people who have consciously made a decision to turn away from God's counsel and His direction, away from His commands and His plans, to do their own thing. But the point is, in all four situations, all of these people are brought to a point where they are humbled by their circumstances. And they call out to God. And God, because, as verse 1 says, He is good and His faithful love endures forever, He immediately responds and delivers them. God turns rivers into a desert. He turned flowing springs into thirsty ground. He turned the land that produced crops into a salty land where nothing could grow. And He did it because the people who lived there were evil. He turned the desert into pools of water. He turned the dry and cracked ground into flowing springs. He brought hungry people there to live, and they built a city where they could make their homes. They planted fields and vineyards that produced large crops, and He blessed the people. and they greatly increased their numbers. He kept their herds from getting smaller. Then the number of God's people, got smaller, and they were made humble by trouble and suffering and sorrow. The God who looks down on proud nobles made them wander in a desert where no one lives, but he lifted the needy people out of their suffering, and he made their families increase like flocks of sheep. We have been lied to for generations, and I've heard it said over and over again. People post it in responses to prayer requests on Facebook, and I've even heard it spoken in church walls over and over again. God will never give you more than you can handle. That is a lie. I am not Maury Povich, but I can tell you right now, that is a lie. I don't know about you, but I know I have more than I can handle at times. I feel overwhelmed, undereducated, underprepared, understaffed, too weak, too sinful, too me. In and of myself, I cannot live life to its fullest. I cannot love like I want to. I cannot give generously like I hope to. I can't do that in and of myself. I have tried. And I see people trying all over the place, trying to be good, trying to be strong, trying to be loving, trying to find peace. We can manage for a while, and I will tell you the truth, some of us are very good at faking it. But eventually, we will be brought to a point, either because of God's direct action or because he has allowed our circumstances to become beyond what we can handle. And when this happens, it is important. It is a matter of life and death, because he wants us to learn to cling to him and only him. The more we cling to him, the less we need to be reminded of his love, and the more peace-filled our lives will be. But you need to remember that sometimes he does allow circumstances to become such that we have no other course of action but to turn to him and call out to him. But it's because of his great love, because of his goodness. Do not ever think for a moment that because you're going through a hard time, God has forgotten you. The Bible tells us in Proverbs and again in Hebrews that God disciplines those he loves. So you need to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves you beyond what you could ever imagine. He is not going to let you go quietly. So if you are not clinging to God, he might just step in and turn you to a point where you have to. You'll have no other choice. Honest people see this, and they are filled with joy. But no one who is evil has anything to say. Let those who are wise pay attention to these things. Let them think about the Lord's great love. Overall, this is a poem. It's very clearly a poem. I love it. I love the structure. I have to say it's one of the easiest sermons I've ever preached because it's so clearly defined. There's an intro and a conclusion, and there's all these different parts in between. But more than just a poem, this is a love poem to each one of us. This psalm is full of the evidence of God's goodness and faithfulness, and it's reiterated to us from verse 1 all the way to the last verse. When we humble ourselves, we begin to recognize who God is. Again, in the Bible, we're told, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People try and downplay that fear. They try and say, oh, you know, it's like a respect. It's a respect thing with God. It's more than that. When people encounter God in the Bible, they're not like, oh, here, have my seat. No, they fall on their faces in front of him. They lay prostrate on the ground. They're terrified. That's what happens. That's why angels say, don't be afraid. It's a terrifying experience to see God face to face. But to know that that terrifying God is on your side, that he is for you, that is amazing. And that is a story you can share. You can trust him. You can trust him, and you can trust in his love. Because he is good, and because his faithful love endures forever. When you begin to recognize and grasp how awesome and terrifying God is, the control he has, like the people in the boat, that he's controlling this ocean and they're just overwhelmed by this power, they call out to God because they know he's the only one. And his response is immediate. Immediate. And when we start to recognize that, we begin to recognize just how good and just how much he loves us. A lot of us have heard the message of God's love over and over again. We've heard that we need to grow closer to him. But you know what? It's kind of like a stream. We are walking around in a dry place and we come to the point where we're thirsty and we're dry and we need that refreshing, cooling water that only God can give us. And we come across this beautiful stream, and we run up to it, and we dip our feet into it, and we're like, oh, that feels so good. And we stand there in this stream, feeling somewhat refreshed, but we're wondering why we're still thirsty. We don't ever fully drink from the stream, from that living water that God has for us. So I want to encourage you, don't just stand in the stream. God wants to fill you to overflowing because he is good and because his faithful love endures forever. Dear God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much that you never give up on us, that you will do whatever needs to be done to draw us close to you. I pray, God, in your power, that you would remind us to call out to you, to cling to you, to lean on you, to trust in your goodness and your loving kindness. Thank you for being faithful to us, God. In your name we pray. Amen.